Please open your Bibles with me to the book of John, John 16. You got four different kinds of sermons. You got your expositional, which you just kind of work your way through a book or section of the Bible. You got your confessional, where you kind of take the different confessions of the church and outline them. You got your topical, just a different topic, and you find different things throughout Scripture in it. And then you've got your occasional. So like weddings, funerals, or days like Ascension Day and Pentecost. That's what we got today. So John 16, 12 to 15. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Let's go to our God in prayer. Father, as we hear words that we should just be downright dumbfounded that we have access to, as in words that your Son spoke, we ask that we might do them justice. The way we do such words justice is by hearing them and taking them to heart, saying this is actually what life is like. Not to think otherwise is to think I know better than God. And we don't, which is why you speak to us. Oh, Father, I ask that we might have ears to hear, eyes to see. We might hear and see your Son. We ask this in his name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, one of the definitions of trauma is something that happens much faster than you can process. You think about somebody who's betrayed, and that's what ends their marriage. The trauma of that is you get two, three, four betrayals all at the same time. Just boom, 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 boom. And then it's a sense of, I didn't even know what to think. It's just totally walking numb. And some of you had your own experiences of walking numb for days, weeks, months. And you kind of look back and realize, you know, you find yourself laughing. And I haven't laughed for about 6 months. People find themselves in situations like that. It's trauma. It happens something. There's things that happen much faster than you can process. And this was about to happen to Jesus' disciples. They were going to have a number of experiences come at them so fast they couldn't even begin to process them. Jesus knew that the experience of his death would come at his disciples so fast, they'd really have no idea what was going on. In the resurrection, they'd really have no idea what was going on. And so what we're studying this evening is Jesus preparing them beforehand for it. That's love. All right, think about preparing somebody for something beforehand. That's love. So Jesus, he's the one who's about to be betrayed to death. He's the one who's about to have pretty much a kangaroo trial and be put to death. And he's saying, okay, how can I make sure that these folks are going to be in the best situation they can be? He's thinking about their well-being. It's a bit like a father who's ridden with cancer and knows he's not long for this world, making a number of videos for his daughter to say, okay, when she's 8, I want her to watch this video. When she's 9, please have her watch this video. When she's 10, please have her watch this video. When she's 11, please have her watch this video. These are the things I wish I'd be able to be there to tell you, but I'm not going to be there to tell you. Only Jesus does much more than that here, because his personal message is a person. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit connects us with Jesus in a much more intimate way. then those tapes, those videos would connect that daughter with her father. So the Holy Spirit unites you, or unites me with Jesus as if he were here in the flesh. And that's profoundly healing for the disciples. So Jesus wants them to know, okay, it's going to be okay. Because the Spirit's going to unite you with me. And everything I have for you. And the Spirit unites us with Christ and all that Christ has for us. As we think about Ascension Day, which is past, and Pentecost, which is coming, this is all about the sending of the Spirit. Because it's really all about connecting you with Jesus. And we see this connection in our first point, continuing to hear. Christianity is a religion of hearing. There's no way around that. There's no way around the fact that the priority of God's Word, hearing it taught, hearing it preached, hearing it read, that is inescapably central to the faith. This is how God works. He works through words. It's not incidental that at the beginning of creation, you're told that God makes worlds and light and animals and you by speaking. It's to tell you that his word is how he does things. You know, there was a guy in our last church, Harold Rutgers, who could fix almost anything. This guy had lost a hand. He's like the handiest person in the world. And of all the people to lose a hand, you're like, why would Harold Rutgers be the one to lose a hand? He could do anything, make anything with his hands. And the Bible there is to say, God can do anything with his words. So him speaking is what to keep an eye on. What does John call Jesus? The Word of God. It's always God's words. That's how he changes people. And we know that in regards to communication. Right? Communication is just basically words. It's meaning coming at us. This is why when you see a movie that you're just utterly shell-shocked by how amazing it is, you say, that really spoke to me. Well, there's a song that you love to hear. It's on the radio. Turn it up. That hits me. The idea is that speaks to me. And what Jesus is saying here is he's saying, I speak to you. But he's saying right now, you're not going to have ears to hear. That's what he's saying to the disciples. But the Spirit will make it make sense. That's verse 12. I have much to say to you, more than you can now bear. So what Jesus had been talking with his disciples about is that he was going to die soon. And every time he brought it up, it was exceedingly awkward. And the disciples tried to shift the attention. Right, you see this throughout the Gospels. When Jesus talks about, okay, the Son of Man is going to be handed over to the Gentiles, and they're always trying to shift the attention. Yeah, that's great. What do we got next week, Jesus? And Jesus here, he's saying, okay, no, you're not even going to really understand what I'm telling you now, but you need to hear it. We're not going to change the subject anymore. You're going to hear about this. Jesus knew that it was going to be upon them soon, and they wouldn't understand it. And he had prepared them for this, meaning he had prepared them perfectly. You can't prepare somebody better than Jesus has prepared these people. And he knows when it happens, they're not going to remember a thing. Right? And that's the Gospels. When Jesus is betrayed, when he has his trial, when he's crucified, when he's risen, it's as if they've never heard word one about any of it. That's just how it is. But that's how it is in so many ways with our own lives, things we hear from God, where it's like, oh, we never heard word one about these things. And God knows this is what it's like for us. He knows that we're very, very simple people, spiritually speaking. The disciples are startled by Jesus' arrest. They're frightened by his trial, baffled by his crucifixion, bewildered by his resurrection. And this was despite the fact that they were prepared for all of this by God himself. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. So there's more that Jesus wants to tell them. And he says, you're not going to get it in the middle of it. They want to be till the Spirit comes. And that's what you see when you read the Gospels. When the Spirit comes, things start falling into place. That's what he was talking about. That's why he drove people out of the temple. That's why he chose Judas. That's the rest of the New Testament, is the Spirit in many ways saying, this is what Jesus was up to. This is who he is. You didn't see us when you were with him, but now that he's gone, the Spirit's here, so you can see him for what he is. That's why at Pentecost, when the Spirit comes, Peter stands up and explains Jesus. Because the Spirit loves to explain Jesus, loves to make much of Jesus. This is what Jesus is about. That's when it's saying he'll guide you into all truth. All truth is not that the charismatic looking at it, saying, okay, well, who should I marry? Spirit of God, guide me into all truth among these four options. Which job should I take? Spirit of truth, guide me into all truth. Make one of these options clear. The Spirit of truth just guides you into all truth, meaning I am the way, the truth, and the life. It just says, okay, let's put the focus back on Jesus. Because what God seems to think is the questions that I tend to ask that I think I need to know the answers to, God would say, no, Adam, no, you need to focus on Jesus. No, but this situation, this choice right here is the thing. Yeah, okay, yeah, you think that, but it's actually about Jesus. I mean, we acknowledge this in our worship music. We've got songs like I'm Coming Back to the Heart of Worship because it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it because it's all about you. Or when I am alone, give me Jesus. You can have all the world, but give me Jesus. So if you get Jesus, you get it all. That's what we study when we're in Colossians, and this is why the Spirit says, okay, keeps bringing you back to Jesus. To say, okay, you want God? He's God. You want to understand yourself? He's you. You want to understand the sort of life you're to live? That's him. He's the plan. He's everything. That's simplicity. That's the simplicity that God offers. He knows that we're spiritually really simple people. I'm spiritually a really simple person. I tend to think I can somehow multitask and be focusing on different things. That's not the case. It's keep it simple, sweetie. And God says, okay, so I'll give you Jesus. And you just keep putting focus back on him. And that's what the Spirit does. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you into all truth, meaning he's going to tell you what I'm about, what I've done. So what we tend to want, I tend to want, I imagine you tend to want, is a fresh word from God, right? Like some sort of like daily communique for your exact situation. Or a tailor-made utterance that could only be said by a modern-day prophet. Those people get attention for not because people are generally just bizarrely foolish. They get attention because people want that. We want that. Okay, just tell me what in this situation needs to be done. Just speak to my situation. And the message of the New Testament is that God's final word has been spoken. And so the Holy Spirit comes just to say, remember what Jesus said. Remember who Jesus is. Put the focus back on Jesus. That's the beginning of Hebrews. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in many different ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. So you never get more than Jesus. All right? If you ever want to hear more from God than Jesus, you're just not going to get it. So the question for me is, okay, do I really want Jesus? Do I really want to know him better? Do I really want words from him? We tend to think we've got these things mastered. In the church I grew up, we had very good catechism teaching. I pretty much figured by the time I got out of high school, I knew my doctrine well. I got it sorted out. These men who had lived with Jesus for 3 years, Jesus says, you don't even have the beginning inkling at this point of what we're doing here. But the Spirit's going to come, right? That's humility that I need. to say, I really cannot understand Jesus without the Spirit. I really can't understand the cross. So my most desperate need is for the Holy Spirit to open my eyes to what actually matters, because I'm exceedingly prone to wander around in pointlessness. Unfathomable oceans of grace are in Christ for you, as McShane put it. Dive and dive again. You'll never come to the bottom of these depths. How many millions of dazzling pearls and gems are at this moment hid in the deep recesses of ocean caves? In many ways, what we're like spiritually, I'm like this, is we're like men, like a man who thinks he knows what affection is, because one time he was hugged for 4 seconds and didn't back off. That's essentially where I'm at. This is how it goes. And so what's needed, always for God's people, God seems to think, is not something else that will pique interest. But it's the Holy Spirit to say, what's the focus again? The focus is Jesus, that's right. Because I'm super prone to wander in all sorts of other directions. And my guess is, you know your own heart, you're super prone to wander in all sorts of other directions. And so the Spirit keeps showing you more of Jesus. That's, he will speak not of his own, but he'll speak what he hears. And he'll tell you what's to come. That what is to come isn't so much thinking about, okay, here's what's going to happen in the end times, meaning like the end of the end times. It's largely saying what is to come at that point was Jesus wasn't arrested yet. He wasn't crucified yet. He wasn't risen yet. He's going to explain these things that matter the most to our faith, to the point that we put him in the middle of our sanctuary to say that this, without this, my life doesn't make sense. And I need this message because in many ways I'm like a kid who thinks I really know what I need. All right, kids, they really think, a little boy whose sister is playing with his marker really thinks that the most needed thing in the world in that moment is for him to have that marker. And the world cannot continue to spin unless he has that marker. Or a little boy thinks that what's really needed in this moment is for his sister to finally get her stinking feet off his chair. That's the most needed thing. Whereas the parent knows, man, that little boy's been kind of grumpy all day. And what he actually needs is to eat some food. And we can't get anywhere until he eats some food. And what that little kid with a marker really actually needs is me to sit down with him for about 3 minutes and play with him. And then the fact that he's been fighting with everybody over everything else, is that's going to start to fall away. And that's God with us. Like many ways, I'm like a little child. Really don't know what I need. Think I do. I really think I do. I think I do. Just like that little kid thinks if I have this marker, the world will be right. And God knows what you need is you need Jesus. And that's why the Spirit comes at Pentecost, is to say, okay, you can now understand Jesus. You can understand what he came to do. That's the song, what more could he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. That's what we need to hear. We need to keep hearing. You never get more than Jesus. And if you want something more than Jesus, it's a sign that actually you don't really know what you need. We need God and what God does for us. And we see this in our second point, a glimpse into God. Gospel of John is a bit like Isaiah, and that God really opens himself up in very unique ways in books like that. We don't tell everyone everything. You just don't. Right? Okay, I walk into Walmart, and they've got those greeters there. When they say, how are you doing? I don't say, okay, well, give me a second and pull up a stool. Just say, well, I mean, it's been really, really busy lately. And like spend 45 minutes talking to this guy, because he's like just, I'm glad you're in the store. Like, I'm just trying to make sure nobody takes off with something. You don't say everything to everybody. Like, the definition of intimacy is the sense of there are some things that's not for public consumption. And you make those things known in intimate relationships that you don't make known to everybody. Right? That's not a fault. It's not a fault that I'm not going to tell you certain things that I'll tell only my wife. And it's not a fault that you're not going to tell me certain things that you would tell only your parents. Kind of be unhelpful if we did. You only let certain people in. And the most amazing thing about life is that God lets you in. He lets you on the inside. He shares intimate things with you. That's remarkable. That's what Jesus is doing with his disciples. He's letting them in. He tells them in verse 14, the Holy Spirit will bring glory to me by taking from what's mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what's mine and make it known to you. The idea, here's what's going on inside of God. And what Jesus says, you know what's going on inside of God is love. Is that the Spirit loves to tell people about me, about Jesus. And Jesus, throughout the Gospel of John, says, you know what I love? I love to tell people that I've got the best Father in the world and that they can go to his house whenever they want. And what the Father does in the Gospels is says, this is my Son, whom I love. You listen to him. Each of them just loves to say, here's how great the other one is. Now, wouldn't it be great to be in a friendship like that? That's Christianity. You get invited into a friendship like that. I mean, imagine a group of friends in which everyone, every individual member thought every other member of that friendship was the best. I mean, rather than every one of us in friendship groups thinking that we're actually kind of the greatest thing since sliced bread and that these other people are kind of bit players in our own story, I actually say, no, oh man, yeah, oh yeah. This sense of, well, if you told Scott how funny he is, Scott would say, well, oh man, Mark's really funny, man. You will bust a gut when you meet Mark. Or you talk to Mark and you say, Mark, man, you are a great listener. And then Mark says, oh, Bill has listened to me any number of times. Do you know Bill? How about you, I, and Bill go out this Friday? Wouldn't you want to be in something like that? That's God. That's God right there. And Jesus is saying that, okay, you can be invited into this friendship. The Holy Spirit will bring glory to me by taking what's mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. So I mean, welcoming little old you into this divine friendship, that doesn't lessen God. So if you have this sense of, well, oh man, I would just drag the whole thing down. No, you won't. Actually, it just makes God seem even greater to people. Because little old you is invited in and you're changed. All right, he'll bring glory to me, says Jesus, by taking what's mine and making it known to you. He's going to make you more like me, and that will glorify me right now. Best NBA selling jersey right now, LeBron James. Now, if the Golden State Warriors had beat the Lakers, we would see how that would go. Maybe Steph Curry would be. But no, LeBron James, Lakers number 6. Best selling jersey right now. So now imagine, if you're LeBron James, what would it be like to walk around in L.A. and see kids with your name on the back of their shirts? That'd be amazing. It'd be amazing in a very similar way if you're a dad and you're working on something with a hammer and your son wants to get a hammer because dad has a hammer. That feels good. When a boy wants to be like dad, that's money in the bank right there. Nothing's better than that. And God has that every day. That's what God has every day. You got the Spirit, you're becoming more like Jesus. And all the members of the Trinity think that's amazing. That you're becoming more like them. You want to be like them. And that's what the Spirit loves to do. Makes you more like Jesus, and we can easily become confused about the things of the Spirit, right? We tend to focus on the exceptional. like the speaking in tongues or prophetic utterances or healings. And the reason that we call these exceptional is they are exceptions. That's when something's exceptional. It's an exception to the rule. And focusing on exceptions in anything is a way towards trouble. Like in your own marriage, if you're married, focusing on the exceptions in your marriage, that's going to be a way to trouble. Or on your job, focusing on the exceptions, the one-offs, the things where there's not a pattern, but just, that was a weird thing. Yeah, it was, and now it's gone. Well, you focus on the exceptions much. You focus on the real thing, the thing that goes on all the time. For as soon as the Spirit is severed from Christ's word, said Calvin, the door is open to all sorts of craziness. So when people talk about like real Spirit-infused churches, real Spirit-infused movements, things are really hopping because the Spirit's there. The way you know the Spirit's there is if people see Jesus, savor Jesus, want to become more like Jesus, that's what the Spirit does. That's the Spirit at work. And so the rule is that's what the Spirit loves to do. That's why the rest of the New Testament, which is all inspired by Jesus, by the Spirit, just tells you here's about Jesus. Here's what he meant. Here's what he does. Here's how you're to live for him. That's real Spirit movement right there. And so God keeps it really simple. Is you focus on Jesus. Because he knows that we can't handle much more than that. Right? I can't handle much more than that. I think I can. I really think I can, but I can't. But the Father knows better, and the Son knows better, and the Spirit knows better. God knows that what we really need is him, and that when we want him, everything else falls into place. That's how life goes. You want God, everything else falls into place. That's why the first and greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. Because the basic message is you really don't need anything after that. Because if your heart's in the right place, things are going to be okay. The rest will fall into place. You don't love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and then make it a point to stick it to somebody. When you stick it to somebody, it's a sign that actually, you know, I wasn't loving the Lord in that moment. This is what Jesus is telling his disciples, promising his disciples on the night he's betrayed. It's gonna fall into place. That's what he's telling them. It's all going to fall into place. The Father will make sure of that by putting his plan into action each step of the way. And then Jesus is saying, I'll make sense of that by living the life for you that you can't live. And the Spirit will make that work by explaining all of it to you and connecting you to all of it. And God makes it that simple. Jesus makes it that simple on the night he's betrayed. And God makes it that simple for you today. I mean, it's us who make it really complicated. So you keep it simple, sweetie. You put your focus on Jesus. That's why he sent the Spirit. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, tend to put the focus on any number of other things, and what that is, it's just sin making its way out in really weird ways. We're never happier than when we focus on your Son. Never happier than when we praise somebody better than ourselves, and you are the one who's supremely good. It's a gift to be simple, it's a gift to be free, it's a gift to come down to where we ought to be. We ask that we might praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.